welcome to the CBS and Days edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're discussing Paul Anthony Stewart returning to Guiding Light, Noah's dad returns to As the World Turns, Ridge the $6 million man on Bold and the Beautiful, the fallout from Phillip's shooting on Days of Our Lives, and Ashley Goes Crazy on Young and the Restless. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jillian, welcome.
Hello.
Jamie, welcome.
Hello.
And Mel, welcome.
Hey.
Let's go to Guiding Light first, because news came out that Paul Anthony Stewart's returning. Mel, are you excited?
Yes, I am. I can't help myself. I always did like Danny, even through all of that awfulness he went through for a little bit there. But I always, always did love Danny. And he's half of one of my favorite couples, Danny and Michelle, who were my Cyrus and Marina before Cyrus and Marina. So I can't help but be excited that he's back, and I always thought he was really cute. So,
looking forward to it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, I want to ask you about him, because you and I have had discussions off the podcast where we've talked about the mob. And one of the first reactions by some readers and viewers of Guiding Light was, I hope he doesn't bring the mob back with him. How do you see his return playing into the show, and how do you think the mob will play into it?
I'm not sure if there's even going to be any mob connection. I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard anything, but this is my thing. I don't know why the mob is the one thing in daytime that fans just act like it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. I don't know if it's just a trickle over from, you know, all the being of the people being fed up at GH, but the mob on Guiding Light never ate the show the way that the mob at GH does. It never did. It was part of – during the mob, they also had San Cristobal. They had stories for Blake and Ross. It was not – the mob did not eat Springfield. And Paul Rauch's run, after Jill Farren Phelps left and, you know, the ratings kind of dropped after, you know, Maureen died and all that stuff – Paul Rauch brought the ratings back for that show with the mob in San Cristobal. Now, fans lamented those storylines, but
I like San Cristobal.
I'm sorry. The mob, those mob storylines, they got hokey at the end because Carmen Santos kind of became a Helena Cassadine that came back from the dead too many times.
Oh,
but
God.
The mob was not – I mean, I'm sorry. Guiding Light is on fire now, and it has been since the – you know, about the first of the year. But – barring the first of the year, barring the last 4 or 5 months of this show, Danny and Michelle's storyline was better than anything Ellen Wheeler has done in her tenure at this show. So I am very happy that one of the most popular couples from the 90s, you know, or half of it at least at this point, is coming back. I don't, you know, when the show is about to be canceled, who cares if they bring back a mob storyline? Is going to Bosnia every other weekend better?
I think you answered your own question with, you know, everybody's disdain for the mob. I think people just think, you know, since, you know, Guiding Light is, you know, it is what it is about them. They just feel as though that, you know, was it Ellen that had the show centered around Jonathan? Was it her?
Yeah.
I think that they're just scared that the mob is going to be centered around, you know, the show's going to be centered around the mob also, like how GH is. So that's probably why they're like, oh God, the mob.
Well, no. I don't think they think that, because these are fans who saw that storyline. And if they remember it, the show was not all about the mob. I mean, there was, and they tied the mob into the fabric of the show. Fifth Street has always been a bad street. Danny and his, you know, his goons were always trying to control Fifth Street. I don't even really see how logistically they can do a big mob story
Danny.
Yeah, and they don't they tape in the daylight. They don't tape at night. You know, what mob storylines can you really tell in broad daylight? I mean, you know, I don't really see them having the legit. And Danny and Michelle are more than just a mob couple. He's married to a Bauer. You know, there's history there. He has history with Marina, which I don't want that explored because I hated that. But, you know, there's still
I didn't mind it too much. But
well, You mentioned Marina, you mentioned Michelle. There was news that came out this last week that Bethann Bonner is going to be joining the cast. Now, some have speculated who she might be. Mel, what are you hearing or what's your take on it?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and drop this. What I heard, she's not going to be Michelle. I heard she's going to be involved in the Bill story. That's what I'm hearing right now, Bill and Lizzie.
Just so, when you go to rejoice, you just say,
So let me get this straight. Guiding Light, for the time being, is canceled. Mm-hmm. Now, it's obvious that they're writing some of this stuff and bringing some people back in the hopes that it won't be or that someone else will pick it up. Mm-hmm. But if it is canceled...
It was canceled by CBS.
Well, it was canceled by CBS, but if it's not picked up by someone else, do you think they should be bringing back a character with only 6 months left to be getting in the middle of Bill and Lizzie?
No. Because right now, I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to make Bill and Lizzie like their go-to couple. And I know that you have to have conflict for the couples, but I feel like they already have enough because you have Alan and Philip and all that mess over there. And I don't think there's a reason to bring in a brand new character to try to break them up even more. And poor Bill and Lizzie have been tortured enough. So I think... They kind of deserve some happiness, at least up until the end, if it's really going to end and not get picked up anywhere else. But I do like Bethann Bonner, so we'll have to see where it goes.
Jamie?
If it's written well, I don't have any problem with it, because I don't want to see them just go on dates for 6 months and be goofy, because that is boring on soap operas.
I like them being goofy.
I like it for a time period, but it's already growing old.
It is wearing on me.
Well, I figured they would build up to a wedding and have it be like people, Ellen trying to stop the wedding. I figured that would be their going out storyline if someone else didn't pick them up. That's
Bethann Bonner coming in between them for me might work a little better than Alan. I am so tired of Ron Reigns and his mustache twirling. I don't know what to do. I mean, it's just, it's hokey and it's silly. And he's just like Helena Cassidyne now. He's like, how do I keep my granddaughter from having sex? I mean, I whittle these storylines to their basic root for me is, why are all these old people so concerned about their family members having sex? They're always trying to keep them from being in love and stuff. And it's like those old movies where you used to tie the damsel to a train track. And it's stupid. It's like, I'm tired of him and this stuff. Let Philip be the lead. I'm sorry. I've never really liked Ron Reigns in this character. I mean, he came on and he started beating Roger Thorpe. And I'm like, this cartoon should not know how to beat Roger Thorpe.
He beat Roger Thorpe? Oh,
yeah,
he would death Roger
over and over again. And I'm like, that's how it was with the other actor. But it's like, this guy is a cartoon. He's a cartoon.
Jillian, this last week, what was the highlight for Guiding Light for you this last week?
Nothing. I mean, I don't know. Like, Josh trying to keep his family safe and everything around that. It was kind of,
okay. On the Perform of the Week episode, I mentioned the scenes with the christening. I really enjoyed it, though. I did have to call Jamie up and say, were Reva and Beth's mom really longtime friends? And he goes, no, just for the sake of this, they were. But no, it was like, okay, I wasn't sure, but I had never really seen them in scenes together.
Girl. Well, that's the thing. I'll say... Since 1993, they haven't been best friends. I don't know. Maybe in the 80s they were, but I've never seen their.
I don't remember that in the 80s.
Big friendship between Reva and Lillian. Reva has barely ever had any real female friends. You know,
I know that much.
Blake. She basically, when they gave Cassie friends, she got friends by de facto. Like Blake and Harley kind of became a friend to her for a while. And, you know, once she and Vanessa got over their feud, they became friendly. And, you know, for a time, Holly. But they just do that. That's kind of how they're doing on Days. It's basically by the time you get to the way it is now, it's like whoever is 60 automatically should be friends. But no, they've never been best friends. I don't know what. Lillian's best friend was Maureen Bauer, whose husband she slept with and caused her to go out into a car and go crash to her death. You know? So that, no, Reva and Lillian were never BFFs. They were never commiserating over Bradley. Bradley, whatever his name was,
Brains.
Reigns, or Reva screwing her way through the Lewis men. That no.
Well,
Reva's friends are always guys. They're her
yeah.
ex-husbands. I mean, it's Buzz is more of good, you know, and
And
Billy are
Billy.
her best friends. You know, Reva only has friends with people she slept with.
Okay. Mel,
Yeah.
what'd you think of Otalia this last week?
I love me some Otalia. I just really like how everything's conflicted right now. It's just like they've admitted to each other that they're in love, but they don't know what to do about it, and they don't know how to go about being in love with one another. And then on the other end, you have Frank, who's completely just stupid and hasn't bought a clue yet that, duh, Olivia and Natalia are in love with each other. What the hell is wrong with you?
You know what's so funny about that? And he's a cop too.
Hey, I am gonna. You know what? I'm gonna defend Frank here. Frank is probably
Frank.
looking. Frank is probably looking at Olivia and thinking she has spread for every man in town. There is no way that that man should assume that they're doing anything more than eating ice cream and watching Desperate Housewives on Sunday night together. Olivia of all people has proven her heterosexuality over and over again. So her discovering her later in life lesbianism is not one that would make you go, yeah, that's a lesbian. You know, maybe somebody like Blake, who hadn't had a man in 10 years. I mean, but you wouldn't just automatically assume Olivia has decided to switch teams.
But he should just realize about Natalia. Like, how do you not notice that Natalia is not into you? He is so deluded. He's just like, I know she wanted to marry me. I know she did. No, she didn't, Frank.
Did you see the look on her face when they slept together? She just had this look like,
Absolute
oh,
disgust.
exactly. And Frank can't get a clue? Jesus.
See, if I was writing it, she would have been having flashes of fantasies with Olivia. See, these subs could be saved.
Yeah.
That she should have been having fantasies. That's
It
what
went
she should be
hot.
having, fantasies that she can't control, of Olivia on top of her kissing her neck. You know, they could
Up against
save
the
these
wall.
shows. They could save
My
them.
neck, my back.
Dilly, be good. I can't see this all.
Okay, as the world turns.
Let me lick you up and down.
Down, oh.
As
till you
Good up
say
body
stop.
rocket. Oh, okay.
As the world turns, Noah's dad is returning. We should have known. We hit May, and you know that Noah's dad is going to return for the summer to do something. Jamie, what do you think?
This is a glad recognized gay love story. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. It's just so
Well,
stupid. I mean,
if you think it's stupid, let's.
I really think that that the fans of this couple and this storyline are just so happy to see a gay couple that they'll take anything, because I really firmly believe if this was not a gay couple, people would be crying bloody murder. I mean, this is a
Yeah.
great couple. They're great boys. They're great actors, whatever. Why in God's name do they have to give? I mean, they just got kidnapped by the Wonder Twins, and you mean to tell me there's already time for a new supervillain of the week? The old supervillain of the week to come back? It's like they take everything. I mean, do they pay attention to the news? Two gay teenagers just killed themselves, or preteen, or they were well, one the boy. You know, there was no, they weren't even gay. They were just being gay bashed and called gay, and they committed suicide. Do they read the newspapers when they write these storylines?
She
They're not
has to know.
trying. They want to get the awards and the acclaim and go stand up there in front of GLAAD and smile and grin. And I'm not talking about Jake and Van. They are actors. They're being paid, and they're doing a good job given what they're given. I'm talking of As the World Turns.
You're
But
talking
they
about
don't want
Jean
to.
past the salami, whatever her
No,
name
I'm
is.
talking Chris Galtman and Barbara Bloom. I'm going to their bosses because they're allowing this. And when As the World Turns is canceled, Barbara Bloom will shrug her shoulders and go, "Who knew again?" When, yes, yeah, she knew. because she is facilitating the demise of these shows by green, you know, they have to approve. We know they have to approve stories. Who's approving this crap? Who is approving a new villain every 6 weeks for Luke and Noah? It's stupid. And the actors don't even have time to find any, you know, motivation or believability, and they're doing as good as they can, and you've got this crap writing every 6 weeks a new supervillain. After they best Noah's dad, let me see if I can predict. Maybe Noah's mom didn't really die, and she'll come back and sell Luke into white slavery. And you know, and then 6 weeks after that, it'll be Amira, and she'll come back and she'll run over Noah with a
Don't forget
car.
Cleo.
And yeah, then 6 weeks after that, it'll be Cleo. You know, I mean, it's just, who cares
Well,
anymore?
I gotta give you credit though, Jamie. You predicted that the Wonder Twins wouldn't actually be twins. You were right. I still maintain I don't like the characters, but you were right. But it did lead up to a little Red Riding Hood scene this last week. Jillian, what'd you think of Lily running down the steps looking like Little Red Riding Hood?
Off to grandma's house I go. I don't know. It was just, oh my Lord. Poor Noelle Beck. That's all I got to say. The only good thing about that storyline is that you get to see what is this? I can't pronounce his last name. Paolo. Can't pronounce that.
Sigante.
Seganti. That's
Sigante.
all you know, you're getting to see this sort of kind of quasi triangle forming. That's the only thing good. Like, I had a feeling the Wonder Twins were the ones behind the storyline. It was so predictable. I had a feeling that the Wonder Mutts were behind trying to steal Luke's money. I just had a feeling. I just had a feeling, and I don't even care. It just
But
sucks.
you do care about
Sorry. Well, it's a letdown for me because I wanted Zach to really keep going after his monster.
Oh, stop.
Jillian, you were excited about
What?
one thing though with As the World Turns this last week. I have an email from you that says you were excited about a Lisa sighting.
Yeah, they took her ass out of the closet. It's been what, 2 weeks now? What the
I
hell?
know.
I know every time Paolo comes to town on that show, she is like, Hallelujah, I get to come out of the storage closet. Oh, I was like, wow. You know, this show could be so much better if they can just utilize the people on their sets. Name starting with the vets, like how One Life to Live and The Young and the Restless plays it out all the time, every time. I mean,
You
this.
know, Eileen Fulton is looking at YNR and going, damn, who is
You
Jeannie Cooper's agent? I was the first soap superstar. You know.
Exactly. She is just probably in her dressing room like Christoph St. John. They're probably lighting candles like Pilar Lopez Fitzgerald from Passions, saying, Please give me a storyline. Christoph is like, Please, Victoria, come back. Or some hoe who could take on the role as Drusilla, please. No, they are in there chanting and using incense so they could get their shit together. I mean, this woman is a talented woman, and y'all just trot her out every now and again. I don't get it. I
And
don't.
there's more reason. I mean, why did Paolo coming back have to mean Lisa gets used? She's Tom's mother, she's
Exactly.
Casey's grandmother, she's Bob's ex-wife, which they don't show Bob and Kim either, but I mean, she has more to do than just be, and I'm, but I'm happy. I mean, hey, at least she's back on. I mean, I
Yeah,
don't
she's.
know. As the World Turns and Bold and the Beautiful both are being written by the seat of their pants, and they're, you know, telling stories in 6 weeks as opposed to 13 weeks, and I don't understand what's going on there.
Let's talk about the Bold and the Beautiful.
God. Oh my
This last
God.
week, Ridge
Oh,
face down
Jesus.
or chase down, depending on how you want to look at it,
He power jogged
a
down
jet.
the
But
runway.
the best thing about the scene was
Oh.
that there was no continuity between the wide shots and the feet shots, because the wide shots actually made it look like Ridge was running at a decent speed. The feet shots were slow motion. Jillian, what's up with Ridge?
You asking me what's up with Rich? You need to ask Brad Bell's ass what's up with Rich. I don't know. Are we really supposed to believe that a 50-plus-year-old man, oh, I'm sorry, Rich is supposed to be what, in his 40s? Y'all know they like to de-sore ass. Sorry, a 40, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, plus-year-old man can run down an airliner? Well, I'm sorry, a private jet? Give me a damn break. I know they're supposed to be campy, but that shit right there is stupid. Carl Lewis can't run down no damn jet. You mean to tell me old ass Rich can, the dressmaker? Give me a flipping break. Someone on my Facebook was like, well, it's campy, you know. I wouldn't expect less from them. Come on now. Ridge? Ridge? I could. Marcus? Yeah. Rick? Maybe. Ridge? Hell no. Y'all know
And
Rick.
he had a heart attack a couple of years ago,
Thank
remember?
you. Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I wasn't too sure. I was like, yeah, what
Oh,
next?
but no, the beauty of it was Brady Black, who that's who he's playing on the show,
Yeah.
up there in that in the cockpit looking
Stop it
down.
now. Go, go.
Menacing, with this menacing look on his face, this dun
You
dun
take that jet
dun.
ladder up. You take this plane up.
It
Y'all
is the most awful mess,
I finally
you
figured it
know.
out. They've been watching that movie Face Off.
No, they've been watching Days of Our Lives. Brad
That's
Bell is
so.
obviously a fan of Days of Our Lives. He saw Kyle Lauder when he was doing all that campy stuff against Deirdre Hall and Josh Taylor and
I'm
with
just waiting
Hogan.
for. I'm
And
just
that
waiting
is
for.
exactly what they're giving him to do on The Bold
I'm
and
just wait.
Beautiful.
I'm just waiting for Susan Flannery, Stephanie, to Mrs. Miyagi. I'm waiting for her to like catch. I'm waiting for Mrs. Miyagi to catch flies with her chopsticks. I'm waiting for her to act like the last. I'm waiting for her to act like the last dragon. Remember in the last dragon? I'm so. Some of y'all, come on. I know y'all seen the last dragon when Shona. When
Hey, Jillian, when I walk in Jackie M, instead of asking about some ready to wear, I'll be like, do y'all have egg rolls
You know?
with your
Yes, my
gumbo
son.
chicken?
You know, yes, my son. I'm just waiting for Stephanie to pull what's that? I don't know his character on the Last Dragon, but I'm waiting for her to catch a bullet between her teeth.
The
If Rob,
Shogun. The Shogun.
whatever his no, that was Shonuff who tried who
Shonuff,
shot at
whatever.
that was Shonuff that was Shonuff who shot at homeboy. I think I can't remember his name.
Oh, the dude that was in Janet Jackson's Let's Wait a While
Yeah,
video.
him. I'm just waiting for.
Let's wait a while.
I'm just waiting for Stephanie to catch a
FIFA
bullet between
is
her
too.
teeth when, like, when Donna shoots at her, she's gonna catch one in her teeth because it's just ridiculous. For us to believe 40-plus, 50-plus-year-old Ridge can run down an airline. It's ridiculous. Sorry.
But okay,
Well,
let's.
the whole show is well, one part of the show that's not ridiculous though is Owen and Jackie.
Oh.
That was some good stuff.
I'm
He
sorry,
dropped it
Bridget.
like it's hot.
Woo!
Yep.
Jack, drop down and get your eagle on. Girl, woo! I'm sorry. Bridget, sorry. I'm sorry. I tried. I was like, come on, give this girl a leading man. She could gone back to Nick. Gone, run back to Clayface Nick. Jackie Chan. Y'all suck.
I actually think Bridget would be more interesting if they crossed her over to Young and the Restless and got her out of that Forrester family dynamic.
Hell
No,
no. Hell no.
she already played a character on there.
And we don't do that on the Young and the Restless, sorry.
She was Megan, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
and I loved her as Megan. That's
I loved
why
her too.
this last couple of years has been such a disappointment. Not for her, because she's still a good actress, but you know. But I actually like that whole thing of Jack, because Jackie has taken on this mother figure for her since her mother's too busy trying to make sure Rick still gets to have sex with his stepsister. But I'm liking the fact that I totally buy Jackie pushing Owen off, because that. You know, that makes sense. I mean, she's a 50-something-year-old woman who just hooked up with a 20-something-year-old guy, and she sees this girl, this young girl who's like floating and that she loves, and she pushes him off because she's probably already insecure, thinking he doesn't really love her, you know. And so that, you know, I don't know what it is about B&B. You know, 15% of the hour of the 30 minutes will make sense. And then the other 15% that includes Rick and Ridge and Steffi and Taylor is crap. And what's sad is that they are obviously they prefer the crap portion of the show, whereas the fans prefer the well-written character driven portion of the show.
What
Oh,
did you
man.
guys at least think that the framing of Rick was good? Because I sort of enjoyed watching Ridge sit back and let Rick just hang himself, but at the same time, it was like Ridge was enjoying it a little bit too much.
I don't think that Kyle Lauder knows how he's supposed to be playing this. And for a fan, that leaves me schizophrenic and trying to figure out, am I supposed to believe that Rick is A, just doing all of this to get Ridge, or B, he is conflicted about it and really loves Steffi, even though he does like the added benefit of getting it, of getting, there's just no. They write it one way one week that he really loves her, then the next week, and that they bonded over Phoebe, then the next week that it's all this nefarious plan to get back at Ridge. It's all just
Oh, and then next
stupid.
week, the next for the next couple of weeks, guess what's gonna
He's gonna
happen?
fall in love with a chipmunk?
No, Jesus, no. God, don't make me. Steffi, from what I've read, Steffi and Marcus are gonna hook up again. Come, oh my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Like, this writing is just retarded. You were in love with Marcus, then all of a sudden you're in love with Rick, gonna get married Rick. Now you hate Rick, now
And
you're in
then the
love with Marcus again.
dialogue is just bad. I mean, her going beat it. What 20-year-old say beat it? I
Just
mean,
beat it.
who? I mean, who's
Just
writing the
beat it.
show? I mean, it's obviously, and it's that there's nothing worse than old writers trying to be hip. It's like that's not what 20-something-year-old girls say.
I would
Beat it,
not want to
Rick.
hear her say get the step in, though. I would not want to hear that girl say get the step in.
Well, it
So.
would have been at least made driven home the point that somebody's paying attention to like pop culture. I mean, they and then Kyle Lauder's acting. We praised him a lot early on as if like he was one of the saving graces.
No,
And opposite.
no. Y'all praised him
Okay,
early on.
well, I'll own that.
Yeah.
Opposite Susan Flannery. He was bringing his A game, but
Well, yeah, I
he
did.
has descended into scenery chewing and histrionics and really bad acting. And now, so basically, instead of one actor bringing it and three bad actors, you have four bad actors in this storyline, and it's bad. And we're stuck with it more than likely because two of these people are one of the most popular couples on the show. So we're gonna keep seeing it. And if this is all they can do for Ridge and Taylor, we're probably stuck with this craptastic storyline for all the way through the summer.
One thing we may not be stuck with, Jillian, is Chipmunks on Young and the Restless. You were telling us before the podcast that it's
Yay.
ending very soon.
Yes, hallelujah. We can break out the rice cakes and just start throwing them, break out the organic milk and just start chugging it down. Oh my God, the Chipmunk Follies is finally
Why we
over.
gotta be drinking organic milk?
Whatever. Shut up, you. Oh no, sorry, not shut up. Chuck you, Jamie. Chuck you. Oh, I love that.
Organic milk costs too much money.
Yeah, that is true. Whatever. I'm just putting it in with Janet. You know, Janet's a hippy dippy
Oh.
chick. Whatever.
Oh. That went over my head. I forgot about that. Yeah, she's organic in her
Yeah.
eating, but when she kills people, she's
Oh, this is what.
pasteurized. I don't know.
No? Oh, the Chipmunk Follies is finally over, and fans who love to hate Gloria like I do, she's gonna get her soon, so keep watching.
Jamie, Ashley's starting to go crazy.
Let's go crazy.
I was just
Maybe.
gonna say that.
I don't know.
I really think that we need to get you and Jillian a singing contract and sell a Daytime Confidential CD.
There you go.
You
All
can't
right.
afford me,
Oh,
Luke.
there it is. Okay. Too high price, boo-boo. Sorry.
What was I gonna say? Yeah, not really enjoying that gaslighting storyline. I don't know. It just seems stupid.
No, you know
It
what was stupid?
seems
Ash,
stupid.
no. This is stupid. Ashley is high risk pregnancy, but her ass wants to traipse around in the woods in the night.
What girlfriend of a billionaire
Who
walks
does
around
that?
in the bushes? I mean, didn't you hear about Patty Hearst?
I don't
Who walks
care if
around
they.
in the bushes at night alone and you're
I don't
married, I
care.
mean, engaged to a billionaire and you're a millionaire? The rich people don't do that kind of stuff. And I know it's a soap opera. We're suspended on disbelief, but it's just
But, I mean.
stupid.
Who I don't care if it is the Newman Ratsey fans. people, viewers are young, and the rest is like, oh, we're praising them. See, we're equal opportunity. We could bash the hell out of them, too. I'm sorry, but if I'm high risk, if I have a high risk pregnancy, and I'm a millionaire / billionaire, and my man is a billionaire, you are not going to get my ass to be traipsing around no woods in the middle of the night for some power walk. It's actually like, I don't even have to ask if Ashley's going crazy. She's stupid damn.
I mean, obviously the Newman Ranch would have a full, we don't see it, but you would just know that they have a full service fitness center, I'm sure, on the grounds. Why would Ashley need to take a walk pregnant through the bushes in the middle of the night?
I don't
just
know.
So that she can be gaslit.
Maybe
by
she wants to do some bushwhacking.
Or
maybe the chipmunk will come and grab her for being
stupid. I don't know, but that chipmunk is. YNR doesn't do stuff like that.
Smells like Hogan Sheffer to me. That smells like a Hogan.
Definitely.
Spank his hand, Maria. Spank that hand.
And well, I don't know. I don't, you know, maybe it's Maria. We don't, you know.
Spank her hand, Hogan.
Whoever it is, but like.
Somebody spank somebody's hand.
And it's like
Julia
in the middle
just wants
of,
to give someone a spanking.
This is the thing with me with that. It's just like that beaver on One Life to Live. You have this big dramatic storyline, Kevin's mental breakdown, and we're supposed to be feeling sympathy for him, and everybody's, you know. You know, there's that, but then he's talking to a chipmunk in his head.
See, this goes to prove that they're watching each other's shows. One Life to Live is watching them, and they're watching One Life to Live. That's good if y'all
like,
want to keep
not,
it.
But I think it works
good.
Better on One Life to Live.
Right, that's good that you want to
yeah,
step
because
the game
that,
up.
That's a silly character. I mean, Roxy is a goon. But, you know, you've got this boy. We're supposed to really be believing he, you know, Michael. If we look at Michael Baldwin and those big croc tears and all the hand-wringing he does, we're supposed to be feeling all this sympathy for Kevin. You know, so that means it's supposed to be a sad story. But then there's, you know, is it a comedy story? And is that Adrian Franz's voice? I think that's Adrian Franz. I do. It sounds like an Adrian Franz voice.
On
like,
Helio.
Yeah, which, well, yeah, that's a scary thought. But it's like, it's just stupid. That's a dumb storyline. But it's wrapping up. You know, by the time that this airs, it will have wrapped up.
Now, but Jillian.
I don't even know why that even appeared, though, in a writer's meeting. I have to say, why?
They are watching each other's shows. It's good that you want to see what your competition is doing, but you don't have to do everything that your competition's doing.
I don't know if it's even that. I just think that they probably thought it would be humorous. Or I don't know how you're sitting around a writer's room and just think, let's make the person that's going through Stockholm syndrome talk to a furry chipmunk in his head. I don't understand how anyone would go, yeah, this is going to be gold.
Jillian, you made a post on the blog about a little birdie talking to you.
Oh.
About a triad.
Oh, now you've got animals talking to you.
Well, that's
Jillian.
The thing. She's complaining about chipmunks, and she's got birds talking to her.
At least I can suit the shit out of my bird.
And at least birds really can talk. I mean, hey, it could be a parrot.
Thank you very much. Okay, yes. My little birdie told me.
I just envisioned that Jillian as a pirate with a parrot on her shoulder.
You know what? I'm gonna leave you alone. You know I can get you good. You know I can. Okay. Someone told me that Jeff, Gloria, and Jill decides to do the unthinkable. That's take on Victor Newman. If it was just Jill, I could say, Victor, you better sleep with one eye open. Jeff and Gloria, Jesus Christ, we got her invading everywhere now. Y'all, we need to do something about it. I'll give Jeff and Gloria this, though. I mean, they did hoodwink the hell out of Catherine and Jill. They did hustle those two. But Victor, I don't know. I mean,
Gloria hustled John Abbott.
Yeah,
the woman's got hustle. You can call her a lot of things,
she
but she's got
her
hustle.
Way into the...
Yeah, I'll give her that. But Victor, we all know that Jill's probably going to be the brains behind this operation, hopefully. Because, I mean, I'll give him some leeway. Maybe, you know, maybe they will pull one over Victor. I mean, he has to be taken down somehow. I mean,
they'll give him epileptic seizures again.
Luke, don't make me reach you there and grab you. Don't do that. Don't you do that. That was the worst year. Sorry, LML fans, but us to believe that Victor...
LML fan, there's only one.
I'm sorry, but...
No, two will show up just to prove that there are more than...
Standing up. No, seriously. Just how we could get on Marie and we praise her? Come on now. Lynn Marie with Victor being... You know, sitting at his desk making snowflakes and being best buds with Jack after Jack left him on that floor.
And mumbling to that damn dog.
Okay. I'm sorry. That is not believable for Victor to be friends with Jack after Jack left his ass on that floor when he had a heart attack. Give me a damn break. Sorry, we can be equal opportunity around Joe.
Mel? I want to see if the second week is any better for you when it comes to Mac.
I really, you know how you try to like an actress in a role because you really love that character?
Yes.
And it just doesn't work? That's where I am right now with Clementine as Mackenzie. I'm trying real hard, and it's
I'm
not
giving
working.
Her a month. This is the second week. I have two more weeks. I'm giving her a month. Sorry.
I'm trying. But right now, she just... It really upset me that Mac and Catherine didn't have that close connection like they've always had. It was just like, okay, this is Catherine and Mackenzie, but it's not Catherine and Mackenzie.
Yeah.
Jamie?
Does that make sense?
Mel's had her chance. One, you said you're giving a month as well. Do you want to not weigh in until the month's
I'm
up?
I'm giving her a month. Sigh.
Okay.
I do have to say what someone told me. Someone was like, why are they trying to pair that girl up with Billy? They should pair her up with Jack Abbott. I was like, ooh, Sybil Shepherd can come down there and take, oh, she gonna put some hurting on you for saying that mess. But yeah,
they Julie's should pair her with Kane.
No,
oh, Lord,
Luke, are you crazy? Two actors who phone it in.
Well, but
see,
but
you
there's,
made me, it's not even a month, and you made me say that. I'm sorry.
There's strategy involved. If you pair them together, you can fast forward through them.
Can't have two. You can't have two pieces of toast. There has to be jam.
Well, that and would be that would be Lily.
The jam's gone bad then.
Well, Kane is actually the jam in that storyline, so that jam's just not tasty. That's just, but with him and Mac, it would just be blah. I mean, it's
why
tofu.
Back?
I mean,
oh yeah. My god! Okay. I'm giving her a month.
Okay, Days of Our Lives: The Fallout from Phillip's Shooting. On the Performer of the Week episode, Jillian, you talked about Shelley Hennig. Let's go into that a little bit more, because there were some interesting portrayals last week.
I mean, she almost got it. She almost got a mention on there, a dishonorable mention, because, once again, I'm sorry. I don't know, like, okay, some people will be like, well, how will you act? I know damn well if my man was to get shot in front of me, and the killer or the would-be assassin was still in front of me.
Cap his ass.
Yeah, okay, I'll be doing something, but standing there with my hand over my mouth like, oh my god, no, I would be doing something, or, you know, me being me, I'd probably be like, Phillip, it's been real, you've been sweating out my hair, but I got
I'm serious.
Okay,
it would have been, feet don't fail me now.
Okay, I would have been out that window, something, you would have seen the amazing gal flying down somewhere. I'm sorry, I'd be like, Phillip, you're a karaokeist. Y'all got nine lives. Sorry. This half a hair only got one. Sorry. Something. But then I have to give Shelley Hennig some credit, because when she went to the hospital, she sort of kind of brought it.
See, I thought about giving her an honorable mention.
What hitman would leave her? What hitman would leave her there? You know?
Oh, my God. You put one in her too for screaming. Just
exactly.
Pow.
Or no, you can't leave witnesses. What kind of mob they bring into Salem? But, you know, I disagree about her performance, though, because I thought Shelley did good.
She did good at the hospital. She did good at the hospital.
I did say at the hospital, she brought it. You know, after it dawns on her that her man got shot, she did bring it. She brought it afterwards, and then she brought it at the hospital. So I did say that.
I even liked the little scene with her and Melanie, you know, the little bonding scene. I mean, that was even tolerable.
See, I thought about giving her an honorable mention because of the hospital scenes, but the bedroom scenes just weren't enough to do it.
Well, that was a gruesome scene to, and I'm not a, God knows I'm not squeamish, but that was a really, but you know, that's, to me, that's today's credit, because I mean, that was a dramatic scene, but just seeing that blood fill up from behind him, it's like, that was gross.
So what do you think about the fallout, Jamie? I mean, it's obviously.
I think that they finally have the makings of a feud. They've been pushing this Damara versus Kiriakis feud for months, and I've just not bought it. I've never understood why Titan Industries, a magazine publisher, was involved in biofuels, and the Damaras, I've never even really heard about a bunch of Damara business stuff. The Damaras are just, you know, like super powerful, world-dominating types. You know, I just never... You know, I know they had business interests, but so this whole, it just seemed like they were scrambling to try to create a new soap with these two families being the heart and soul, you know, after Marlena and John died and they don't play the Hortons and there are really hardly any Bradys. But Philip getting capped now brings the dramatic, there's actually a reason for this feud, you know, Tony dying and then Philip being capped.
But I mean, the best thing about this, John Aniston will finally get a storyline. That poor man. And doesn't anybody else, I don't know about y'all, but wasn't it Dina that brought the Santis to town? Wasn't it her?
No. That was Michael Malone.
Oh, I thought it was her. Because I was going to say, she's finally getting her mob storyline that she wants, but hell.
No, that was forced on Michael Malone. Brian Franz ordered him to write it, and you know,
well, she's doing her own thing. But I
oh, Dina Higley's not running this show. Gary Tomlin is.
Oh, sorry, Dina. I tried to give it to you, but got shot down. Bow, bow. Sorry.
All of the improvements, you know, the few improvements we're seeing, that's Gary Tomlin. Dina Higley is just, from what I've heard, because she made a, you know, and this is all alleged. Because she made the deal with the devil to save the, you know, keep riding the show during the strike and do FICOR. Corday is just like, you got a job for life. But Gary Tomlin allegedly is the one putting the show back together.
Well, Gary Tomlin, get rid of Melanie. Sorry, some Melanie fans, but she just has no rhyme or reason there. It's when she found Brady on the docks. Oh, I just wanted someone to just chuck a seagull or something at her. She just annoyed me. And continuity people, I'm sorry, but the cell phone thing, everybody knows if your cell phone is turned off, I've not had this experience, so don't come at me. But everybody knows it's the FCC has put in place if your cell phone has been turned off by the cell phone company or you don't have an active cell phone, you can still call 911. That was just stupid.
Jillian. This is a soap opera that has a magazine company fighting over
biofuels. I'm sorry. You're
right. This is also the show that had John Black's brains on a disc.
I don't think they're really adhering to FCC.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. This is also the show
the HIPAA violations at the hospital alone would have them fined out of existence.
This is the same show that Sammy knows what her baby looks like, but still thinks it's someone else's baby.
Sammy worked as a candy striper at University Hospital for 10 years, even though it was well-documented fact that she had switched the results of every baby in town.
They didn't
fire her until she was like a 35-year-old. Finally, they were like, you're fired, Sammy. It's like, why has Sammy been candy striping at this hospital for 15 years?
I'm sorry.
Okay. Any other thoughts on Days of Our Lives before we go to final thoughts? Jamie?
Performer of the week, even though this isn't that, it's the Jacob Johnson's bloody chest. I don't know.
Okay, Jillian, any final Days of Our Lives thoughts?
No.
Okay, final thought, Mel.
My final thought is I'm really excited that Jillian has said that the chipmunk is finally over. Oh,
girl,
you're restless.
You are happy.
No words. Thank you, Jillian. And like I always say on every podcast, just because Guiding Light is canceled does not mean it is off the air yet, so keep watching it.
Come on, girl. You be that cheerleader. Ellen Wheeler need to give you some shares.
She need to give me something.
Something.
Ellen,
something,
Ellen something. Obviously has nothing to give anybody, or else they would have gave her enough money to save that show.
James, Jamie?
She gives us our gratitude. Gratitude.
She can redo the intro if it's picked up. How about that?
If they give, oh, if they gave Mel, if she gave Mel some shares in P&G, that means As a World Turns is canceled.
Jamie, final thought?
My final thought is, what is there to say? I mean, there is
slamming that door on Heather.
Oh, great podcast. Thank you, Wyatt R., for not getting rid of Vail Bloom, even though we know you're going to. But if it gives us the chance to let Victor do what the fans want to do in every scene, which is yell at her and slam doors in her face.
Not once, but twice.
Yes, then it's worth it. I mean, someone needs to do a YouTube clip of Victor, like, yelling and slamming doors in her face and just treating her like crap. And, I mean, she has the potential to become one of the most popular lamented characters ever. I mean, it's fun watching
She's
it.
A slonky. She's a slonky.
Jillian?
And she has brass balls, too. She tried to put this man in prison twice, so then she shows up at a party at his house.
Here I am! I'm like, damn, you got some... Yeah, she has some brass ones.
Jillian, final
and
thought?
Is like,
oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, my final thought is, yes, we know that you're trying to make Marge and Catherine look different, but I'm sorry. Y'all know I love me some Jeannie Cooper. Love her, love her, love her. But I'm sorry, but y'all had her looking like a linebacker in that picture of Marge at the memorial service. I am sorry. Jeannie Cooper, you need to storm that art room and say, what the hell are y'all trying to say about my ass? I know. I love Jeannie Cooper. I do. And I know they're trying to make Marge and Catherine different so we don't wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know that they're played by the same person. But, woo! Lord.
Bill Bell Jr. needs to hire Jillian as a fashion and image consultant for his senior citizens on the show. I mean, she can be there on set when she sees, you know, she'll go back and forth from B&B and Wyatt R. Can you just see Jillian? They're like, oh, do you like Susan's new? No, get her out of this.
I'm just waiting for Susan Flannery to show up one day in a tracksuit on the set and say she's going to Forrester Creations. And I'll be like, Susan, girl, you are not Tony Soprano. Stop doing that shit.
Well, I wanted to give one little specific Y&R honorable mention to the little Yorkshire Terrier that finally made Lily and Kane a little bit interesting. It's been...
No, it didn't.
No, that little bitch dog. Oh, God.
If I'm not mistaken, it's a male. I thought about making a post about name that bitch on the...
All they had to do, if they wanted to drive home the fact that she's 20 years younger than him, the way she's acting with that puppy, I mean, I half expect him to go fix her a sandwich and cut the crust of bread off of it.
Give her a little triangles.
And give her a glass of milk.
Okay, no, sorry. Don't mean to cut you off, but... Fact, I'm sorry. I try to be nice about Lily and Kane Lily too, but I can't because one minute she wants to be a model, then she tells Colleen she doesn't want to have a baby, and then finally she tells Kane, "Okay, let's have a baby." How the hell can you be a model?
And okay, here since you brought that up about the career choices, memo to Maria Arena Bell, because LML did this too, and I just need to let y'all know we don't find it earnest or believable that these heiresses and heirs want to work in these bars and coffee shops. Why is Mackenzie, after coming home from Darfur and finding out that her billionaire's mother is alive, applying for jobs in bars? There are plenty of wealthy people that want to do something with the world, the Hearsts or whatever.
Cassie Foundation.
But they don't get jobs at bars. It's stupid. Max should be wanting to run Chancellor Industries philanthropic efforts.
Right.
No, she should be wanting to work for Chancellor Industries' philanthropic efforts to set up more money for Darfur or something. She shouldn't want to go bus tables at the local dive bar.
Well, she doesn't want any nepotism, so that's what I'm saying. She could at least work at Cassie's foundation. Doesn't Sharon have a foundation that she never works at? But it's ridiculous.
Sharon,
we don't think
Sharon probably
has 18 jobs. I've lost track. Sharon is an executive at Newman or Jabot or the magazine.
Job she got on the corner. So.
Sharon took a five-finger discount right out of Cassie's foundation and stole all that money. You just know she did.
She has a job throwing that snatch around. Woo! Damn, Sharon! I like Sharon, but damn, girl!
I wouldn't have minded if she would have been in her right mind. I'd have been cheering on, because why shouldn't she? Nick throws it around and nobody's big to him.
On that note, until next time, so long, folks.
Bye.
Bye,
y'all.